We're still in Luke 10. I want to spend a little more time on the word laborer and what it, where, how it's used on verse 10. We talked about the laborers worthy of his hire, but I want to talk about another kind of labor. So let's go to Luke 13. Start in verse 22. And Luke 13, verse 22. And he went through the cities and villages teaching, then journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at that straight gate or narrow gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and hath shut the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. He shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught us in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. And let's look at the same in Matthew 7 for a minute, and we'll talk about it. This is a version of the same thing from the Beatitude. Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now the word work is that the fruit of something. It's the fruit of an apple is the fruit of an apple tree, and that's the work of an apple tree. And the labor of God is the fruit of his work in us. The labor, and that's our labor. The labor is worthy of his hire. But the labor of man, no matter what it is, we've done many wonderful things in his name. We've cast out demons. We've spoken in tongues. We've done all these things in thy name. And he shall say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And again, it's the idea that the tree is the only thing that can produce the right thing.
Then what happened? Did he get somewhere later on? He got mad at him because
they cast into outer darkness is what it says in the first one.
I know. Why?
Because they are workers of iniquity.
Oh. And workers of iniquity. Iniquity is... What is that?
That's anything you do.
Anything you do.
That's all that man can do is be a worker of iniquity. That's why... It was so critical when
doing stuff that risked their own selves.
Well, they think they're doing it in the name of God. But that's why when John the Baptist said, "Now is the axe laid to the root of the tree." And at Jesus' baptism, the axe was laid to the root of the tree of the human race. At his cross, the human race died. And so a worker of iniquity is a dead man's work. It's all these things are done in his name, but they're really not in his name, because he said, "I never knew you," and you're not of the same order, you're not of the same class, you're a different being, you're a different, you can't produce the fruit of God, because man cannot, because of his curse. So again, you can labor all you want. You can study the Bible till hell freezes over. You can have a million converts. All that's meaningless, because you're a worker of iniquity. All right, let's look at some others. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Well, let's go back to Psalms for Psalm 6.
No, I'm just thinking about it. It's subtle and dramatic at the same time. And the subtlety is your mind will say, "I'm so glad I'm a Christian. Now I'm righteous."
It's just stuff that man does. It has nothing to do with the kingdom of God.
But you don't realize that. You think you've done the right thing, walk the aisle, profess God, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, right.
The idea, if you haven't seen your death, you've only seen a new life without death.
And it isn't a new. It's the same thing. It's that little beast. It's the second beast in the Revelation that John saw. The first one he saw was one of his heads was wounded and with a deadly head wound, and then he kept raising himself from the dead. And the second beast that came out was the same. It's a little looked like a lamb. It had two horns. So now he's a Christian beast. But he's still worshiping the beast, and his words are the words of the dragon. It doesn't matter. You can quote scripture all day.
And that's why the Antichrist looks like Jesus, not this gargoyle dude.
No, the Antichrist looks like Gary, but more, he looks more like Ronnie. Let's go to Psalm 6.
I think he looked more like Ole.
O Lord.
Psalm 6.
Psalm 6, yeah.
Psalm 6.
This is us waiting for the Bible scholar to find Psalm 6. I'm just giving the color commentary for the listeners. O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed. But thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul, and save me for thy mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks? I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. Mine eye is consumed because of grief. It waxeth old because of all mine enemies. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let mine enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. Again, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Starting verse 10, as the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Acacia. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth. But what I do, that will I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, wherein they glory they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Again, it's called here deceitful workers. Well, this is why God doesn't even see the outward expression. He doesn't even hear your words or your prayers, because he cannot look upon iniquity. And yet, there's billions transforming themselves into angels of light. What that means is they're putting on, they're not metamorphosed transforming. This is the word that means acting. This is why the only constant that we must have is not knowledge or wisdom or anything. The only constant we must have is repentance. Total and complete emptying of self at all times. The whole other thing is will worship. That has nothing to do with God. It's a worship that thinks that if I do this, then I'll get something. If I give a lot of money, then I'll get more money. If I give a lot of money, then I'll get healed. And there's plenty of false ministers that'll preach that. All right, one more. Paul, Philippians 3.
Keep thinking about the word oven. It's self. Realization, self-effort.
Philippians chapter 3.
Turn right to it.
How do you do that, Ron?
I don't know.
Or it might be the evidence of the problem.
Just expand your own tail.
All right. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in flesh, I am more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew, of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Now in verse 2, it's beware of dogs, beware of evil workers. And that's the same thing as workers of iniquity. They're coming to you in the name of Jesus. That's like that great sentence in the Didache. It says, if anyone comes to you in the name of God asking for money, shun him. He's a false apostle. The simplicity of that is overwhelming. All right, let's go back to Luke. What are you doing, Gary?
I was just thinking about that thing you just said about asking for money. It's rare.
Hmm?
It's rare.
It's rare?
It's rare that someone comes to you and God doesn't ask for money. Not on the streets necessarily.
All right.
Well, you know, that ask for money for missionaries, for daycare, you know, lots of things that you think that are legitimate, you know, for the church to function or to operate.
Yeah, but look, if the church is operating as a church, then the people will tithe, and from the tithe will come the
tithes and offerings.
And that's where the money comes from for all the things you've just talked about.
Right.
But it's not, you're not coming to in the name of God asking for money. It's an assumption that if you believe, you tithe. And it's not... it's not something you...
You're part of the community.
Yeah.
In that sense. It's not just one person coming through and...
Oh, it's the guys like... Money. Yeah, I mean, it's just... The fraud we see in this area is beyond belief. Even the good ones, or relatively good ones. They say, oh, we're supporting 300,000 children. Well, it's because they give $1,000 to an organization that does support 300,000 children. But it's just the subtlety of creating an image that will cause people to give money instead of just being. We got everything upside down. In spirit, I mean, in the world, function follows form. In other words, you have a plan. You have a form that you try to get, whether it is. But in spirit, everything is the opposite. The form follows the function. And It's not just sitting around thinking up stuff. It's being and responding to need as it comes up. All right, back to Luke. Let me read this again. And starting in verse 2 of chapter 10. Therefore I said unto them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Pray you for the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. In whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. Now, remember there's these two words for city. The one word, which I don't remember, that's been used in, that we've used and studied a lot, is the word that just means the place where the laborers in the field sleep. And so it's not like a city, it's just, could be a little hamlet or something. But this word for city is polis. And it means, in Hebrew, in Israel, it was a city that had a wall. It was enclosed by a wall. But from our standpoint, this is what we must see. It's the city, it's one's place of birth, their native city. And so my native city after the flesh was St. Peter, Minnesota. But that's no longer my native city, because the person that was born in that city is dead. So my native city now is the New Jerusalem. And that's why it's called, we must be born from above, or born from the first estate, so that we make no reference to the past in terms of how it affects us. We make no reference to the future in terms of how it affects us. Because in this mystery of God, we are in eternity where there is no time. And our minds are transformed to see that. We no longer dwell on the earth, because everyone that dwells on the earth is deceived. Amen?
Yeah.
Let's go, let's look and see that real quickly. Go to Revelation 12. Revelation 12, the first part of it is the description of the signs of the zodiac to show that there is this war in heaven, all about destroying the fruit of the virgin, the one child. And now, let's start in verse 7. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place any found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And that's why then in Revelation 13, it's all the world is wandering after the beast. They're in a state of wonder after the beast. Because that beast is your mind. The only thing in the universe that all men have ever wandered after was themselves. And in fact, the human race died on the cross, as we've talked about many times. And it's hard for us to see and understand this, but all men die at the same time. You will die at the same time as Abel, because all men died at the cross. So there's a new life that has nothing to do with the old one. And this is what we cannot understand. We cannot grasp. We can't get our heads around it. Because if he did, there would be a total abandonment. No more plans. No more ideas. It'll be an abandonment. An emptiness. Transform the world. It says they turned the world upside down. But they did it by their emptiness, not about their knowledge, not about what they knew what they were doing. They did it by creating a low pressure zone that was so intense it altered their environment. That can't happen as long as you continue living like a Gentile. There must be this total emptiness, total dependence on God and God alone. That's why the city of our birth is so important. It's no longer wherever you were physically born into the earth. Because you've been born from above now, that has nothing. It's just. That's why the word for heavenly Jerusalem, the city, was always this word polis. Because it's our birthplace. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, that's enough for today. I want to talk a little more about the New Jerusalem. I know we talk about it a lot, but I don't think we talk about it enough. The New Jerusalem.
Perhaps not.
All right, take it, big guy.